This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, this morning I'm going to continue with the manual that I've written for camp counselors on how to preach the gospel. You can find this manual on my website at bdcministries.faithweb.com. So if you want to download it or use it or reread it, or listen to this program where I've read it over a couple of programs using a couple of different programs, the time of a couple of different programs, you can do that through my website. Now, last time we had spent some time on suggestions for dealing with someone who wants to be saved, and we had looked at four questions or three questions that we should ask them if they want to be saved. And then we looked at the issue of whether you can believe and not be saved. And obviously there's a difference between believing the facts of the gospel, believing there's truth in the gospel, and trusting in the truth of the gospel, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at the part that prayer plays in salvation the last time, but we didn't get completely through that. We looked at the fact that some people will say, if an individual wants to be saved, they'll say, well, just pray and invite the Lord into your heart, or words of that sort. And we noted that that was never a technique that was used by the Lord or by the apostles in the Bible. And if it is the way in which people can be saved, we ask the questions, why didn't they use this technique? We noted that it places the emphasis of the gospel on what we are doing for God, rather than on what Christ has done for us. Peace or assurance of salvation is obtained when we rest or depend on what God has done for us. We also noted that it misinterprets Romans 10 and verse 13, which says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The next verse explains this by saying, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" So believing in the Lord causes us to pray, but is faith in the Lord that saves and not prayer. We ask the question, is it necessary to ask God to save us when he is offering salvation as a free gift? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So is that necessary to ask him to save us when he's offering it as a free gift? We noted that you probably would not ask for a birthday gift that has already been paid for, wrapped, and placed in your hands. You would accept it by saying thank you and by opening the gift. Also, we asked, is it necessary to ask the Lord to forgive us when he is already offering to do that? In Luke 23 and 34, he cries those words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And of course, since he is offering it, we need to receive it. But we certainly don't have to ask him to do what he's already offered to do. Now, salvation is by gift, and faith is the hand that received what has been offered freely by grace. We do not have to ask for it. We need to receive it by believing in or depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are depending on him when we are depending on what he says. Since the whole Bible is the Word of God, we are depending on what he says when we depend on the promises he makes us in the Bible. It would be quite scriptural to ask the Lord to help us to believe, but it would not be clear thinking to ask him to save us or to forgive us when he has already said that he will if we will accept his promises. The admonition, "Ask and it shall be given to you," in Matthew 7 and 7 would seem to apply where the Lord has not already offered us a solution that he has asked us to accept. Now again, when we ask the Lord to save us or ask him into our hearts, it misuses Revelation 3 verse 20, which says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." This is a message having to do with fellowship in a church. Any believer can have that fellowship by opening the door to the church where the Lord is on the outside. And it's interesting that a church is supposed to be a gathering under the Lord, but here's a church where the Lord is on the outside. Likely the door is opened by confession of sin and obedience. The context does not make this the door to a person's heart. Some have said that inviting the Lord into our hearts to be saved is an application of the principle laid out in this verse, and there it is quite proper to do this. Many people fail to properly understand that believing with the heart, as we find in Romans 10 and 9, Acts 8 and 37, means trusting the Lord in such a way that the emotions and motives of a person are affected. It is more than just understanding the truth. It is a total dependence on the one who is the truth. Here we must raise the question, since this was written long after the Acts of the Apostles, in other words, this verse, Romans 3:23, was written long after the Acts of the Apostles and after Paul and Peter explained the doctrines of the gospel, why do we never read an example in the Bible where this was the explanation given to the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer is always believe in or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We never see the answer, just invite the Lord into your heart and you will be saved. No, nor do we find the apostle saying, just ask the Lord to save you and you will be saved. So we need to emphasize that we trust in the Lord Jesus to be saved. And in order for a person to trust in the Lord Jesus, they're going to have to be able to trust his promises. And so again, we can use a verse like John 3 and 36 to see if they do. It says, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And so if you don't have eternal life, you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It's possible to use a verse like that to help sort this out in the minds of someone who is wondering if they believe. Now, what part does confession play in salvation? Another verse that is sometimes misused is Romans 10 and 9, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There are three things we need to understand about this verse. Confession is not the cause of salvation, but the result of it, just like prayer was the result of salvation and not the cause of it. Many people think that a public prayer or confession, such as an altar call, is necessary based on this verse. However, verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, it is evident that faith precedes the confession. Logically, how can we confess to something that we don't believe in or have faith in already? Believing is with the heart and not with the head biologically. I'm sorry, I misread that. Believing is with the head and not with the heart, biologically. But this verse says that we need to believe with our hearts. What does that mean? We could give examples in the Bible of people who believed that the gospel was true. And they even believed it had power to save, but they never personally trusted in the gospel themselves. Simon the sorcerer in Acts 8 seems to be such a case. So it appears Paul was distinguishing between the person who was believing that the historical facts are true from the person who actually received peace from depending on those facts, which means that they have depended on the Lord Jesus. Believing in our hearts is a way of saying we are wholly trusting and believing in the Lord without any reservations. This is the way the Lord dwells in our hearts by faith, as it says in Ephesians 3:17. I'm going to reread that. Believing in our hearts is a way of saying we are wholly trusting and believing in the Lord without any reservations or saying or without any reservations. This is the way Jesus dwells in our hearts by faith. In this verse, the truth we must believe in order to be saved emphasizes the fact that God has been raised from the dead, or that Christ has been raised from the dead. Normally we preach that we must believe that Christ died for our sins. And while that is true, that is not the whole gospel. If we believe that Christ rose from the dead, we also have to believe that he died and was buried. The resurrection is the proof of the truth and needs to be emphasized when we preach the gospel. So again, confession is important. It gives assurance and it gives joy. But confession is the result of the faith that we have in Christ. It does not cause that faith. It is the result of that faith. It's the word of God that brings us to faith in Christ. If a person says that they know that they are saved, ask them if there's a verse of Scripture that helps them understand that. Try to help them find a gospel verse that is fairly straightforward, that gives them assurance, and then suggest that they memorize the verse. This is a good time for the person to pray, thanking the Lord for salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is always wise for a newly saved person to tell someone that they have trusted Christ. This kind of confession seems to give assurance and joy in many cases. Now, we need to understand exactly what the truth of the gospel is. And we've been emphasizing that. We find it in 1 Corinthians 15. So again, in this section, notice that the emphasis on resurrection in the following passage and in the preaching in Acts, that there is an emphasis on resurrection in the following passage and in the preaching in Acts. We need to be clear as to what the gospel or good news is if we are going to present it properly. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, we have three elements. Christ died for our sins to show our need and the solution. He was buried to prove that he died. He rose again to give assurance that this is all true and that God is satisfied. So when we preach the gospel, we preach that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. And we pointed out many times that the scriptures that are referred to here are the Old Testament scriptures, that these truths can be found in the Old Testament. Now, when we preach the gospel, I find four chapters that are particularly useful in explaining the gospel. I use Isaiah 53, which is the crucifixion of Christ, written 700 years before it happened. I use John 3, which explains the need for the new birth. We cannot get around the fact that the Bible says we must be born again. And I have people who say, well, I must be born again because I think I believe, but I don't know when I was born again. And that's very confusing to me. If the Bible says we must be born again, I think it would be wise to know when we were born again. I like to use Romans 3 because it deals with the sin problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I like to use Ephesians chapter 2, which is the testimony of those who are saved, particularly verses 1 through 10. It has that beautiful verse in it, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So in Isaiah 53, we have the crucifixion of Christ written 700 years before it happened, and we have the issue of faith brought before us. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? John 3, the need for the new birth. Romans 3, the sin problem. And Ephesians 2, showing that in Ephesus, these people had been born again. They had passed from death unto life. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, there are some good verses that explain God's way of salvation using the word faith or believe, and there are some good verses that explain it without using the word believe, and for some people that's helpful, and we want to talk about that next time. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. Pray for thy blessing upon the preaching of the gospel. Help us to explain how to preach it clearly and simply. Help us to use verses that are easily understood by those who need to be saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our listeners as we again thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa. 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.